Welcome to this deep dive. Today we're talking about something incredibly close to home for many of us, your toddler's journey into communication.
It really is. It's such a dynamic and important time in their little lives.
Absolutely. These years from birth to three are just a whirlwind of growth. You see those tiny beings soaking everything up, moving from those sweet little coos to joyful giggles, and then, you know, those amazing first words.
Mm-hmm.
And their brains are working overtime, making over a million new connections every single second.
It's incredible, isn't it? Like, they have these super absorbent little brains.
Totally.
And what's truly remarkable is this idea of neuroplasticity. The brain's fantastic ability to adapt and, well, learn.
Right.
This creates such a valuable window for development. So acting early really means we're tapping into this prime time for their brain to build those communication pathways.
Exactly. And as parents, you're the ones who know your child best. You might notice things. Maybe your little one isn't chatting as much as you expected, or...
Or they get really frustrated trying to tell you something.
Yeah. Or you just have a feeling that something is a bit different.
And those instincts are so important to pay attention to. It's completely normal to have those thoughts and questions.
And that's precisely why we're diving into this today, to offer some clarity and support. We want to talk about early support, often called early intervention.
Mm-hmm.
This is all about providing services and help for infants and toddlers from birth to age three, who might be showing signs of developmental delays or have certain conditions that could affect their growth.
That's right. The main goal is really to nurture their development right from the start. By offering support early on, we aim to help them progress and hopefully lessen the need for maybe more intensive support later.
Like giving them a gentle boost during this really critical learning period.
Exactly. Think of it that way, a gentle boost.
It's like giving your child a head start during this incredibly receptive time. And in the U.S., programs like IDEA Part C help families access these crucial services.
Precisely. It's about recognizing that every child deserves the best possible beginning and, you know, the chance to reach their full potential.
Okay, let's get a clear picture of who can help. One of the key partners for families on this communication journey is a speech-language pathologist.
Right.
Now, you might hear different terms, speech therapist, speech teacher, but the official title is speech-language pathologist, or SLP for short.
Yes, and it's so important to understand that their role goes far beyond just helping with how a child says words, you know, pronunciation.
Mm-hmm.
They really look at the whole picture of how a child connects and interacts with the world around them.
Absolutely. So when a family works with an SLP, what are some of the main areas they might focus on?
Well, a really fundamental area is understanding language, what we call receptive skills.
Okay.
This is all about how well your child takes in and processes what you're saying. Can they follow simple directions like come here or give me the toy?
Think sense.
Do they seem to recognize and respond when you call their name? That kind of thing.
That makes perfect sense. Being able to understand what's being said to them is the first step. And then there's using language or expressive skills.
Exactly. How does your child communicate their own wants, needs, feelings, and ideas?
Right.
This might start with gestures, like pointing to what they want or waving hello and goodbye. Then it moves into making sounds, saying those first exciting words, and eventually putting words together into simple phrases and sentences.
And of course, there's speaking clearly, or speech production. Is their development of sounds on track for their age?
Mm-hmm.
Can people who know them well generally understand what they're trying to say?
That's a key piece of the puzzle, yeah. Beyond that, SLPs also look at connecting socially, or social communication.
Okay, like how?
This involves things like making eye contact during interactions, taking turns in simple games or conversations, showing interest in playful interactions like peekaboo.
Ah, peekaboo. Classic.
It is. And using communication to share their joy or get their needs met, you know, reaching for something and looking at you.
I might not have immediately connected this, but thinking and playing, or cognitive communication, is also an important part of the picture, right?
Absolutely. Things like being able to focus their attention, remembering simple instructions, solving basic problems, and engaging in pretend play.
Pretend play, okay.
Yeah, these are all closely linked to how their communication skills develop.
And this is a really interesting one. Eating and drinking safely, or feeding and swallowing, how does that relate to communication?
Well, it's interesting. The muscles and coordination that are used for speaking are also involved in eating.
Huh? Okay.
So if a child has difficulties with chewing different textures, swallowing smoothly, or even trying new foods, an SLP can often provide valuable support in that area too.
That's fascinating. And what about getting them ready for reading down the road? Is that something SLPs look at?
Yes, pre-literacy skills are another area where SLPs can make a difference.
Like
things like enjoying looking at books together, starting to notice the different sounds within words, maybe understanding how stories work. These are all early building blocks for literacy that SLPs can help nurture.
Okay. And for children who might have more significant challenges with spoken language, there are other ways to communicate, right? Augmentative and alternative communication, or AAC.
Exactly. AAC. This includes a range of options like using sign language, picture boards where they can point to what they want to say.
Like picture symbols?
Yes, or even specialized electronic communication devices. And it's so important for parents to know that these tools don't hinder speech development.
That's a common worry, I think.
It really is. But in fact, they often help it along by giving the child a way to express themselves, which can reduce frustration and actually encourage language growth.
It really highlights how all these different aspects of development are connected.
They are. Progress in one area can really boost progress in others.
It's a holistic view.
Absolutely. It's a holistic view of how children learn to communicate and connect.
So we've got a better understanding of who SLPs are and the many ways they can help. Now let's talk more about why getting support early on is so beneficial. We touched on that amazing brain development in the first 3 years.
Yes, and it's worth emphasizing again, this is when the brain is at its most adaptable, its most plastic.
Right, that neuroplasticity.
Exactly. When we address any communication challenges during this period, we're really taking advantage of the brain's natural ability to learn and change. Think of it like gently guiding a young sapling so it grows straight and strong.
Nice analogy.
Early support can actually help strengthen those very brain pathways needed for communication to flourish.
And the advantages of this early intervention are really significant for families, aren't they?
They truly are. Research and honestly just countless families' experiences show that when children receive support early, they often make progress much more quickly than if we wait.
Okay.
Also, any gap between their communication skills and those of their peers is less likely to widen over time. It's about giving them the best possible start.
That makes so much sense. Catching things early can prevent smaller hurdles from becoming bigger obstacles down the road.
Exactly right. And often, early intervention can actually reduce the need for more intensive services later on, both when they start school and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, it helps build a really solid foundation for future learning, for making friends, and for their overall well-being and confidence.
It really does sound like giving your child an invaluable gift of time and opportunity during these incredibly important early years.
That's a beautiful way to put it. It really is.
Now, for the parents listening, it's so important to remember that every child blossoms in their own unique way, and there's a wide range of what's considered typical development.
Absolutely, a very wide range.
But sometimes you might just notice little things that make you wonder if a little extra support could be helpful. You refer to these as gentle guideposts.
Yes, and these aren't meant to be strict checklists that cause worry, but rather some general things to keep in mind based on typical development milestones. For instance, around the age of 7 months, it might be a good idea to chat with us or your pediatrician if your baby isn't reacting much to sounds around them,
mm-hmm.
doesn't seem to enjoy those interactive back and forth games like peekaboo, or isn't making those happy, joyful, squealing sounds when interacting with you.
Okay, that's helpful to know.
Yeah.
What about as they get a bit older, say around the 12-month mark?
At that age, some things to maybe look out for are if they aren't making babbling sounds that include consonants, like baba or dada.
Yeah.
If they don't seem to recognize or respond when you call their name, if they aren't using common gestures like waving bye-bye or pointing to show you things they're interested in.
Pointing is a big one, isn't it?
It really is. Or if they don't seem to understand simple everyday words like no.
Okay. And what about when they reach around 18 months?
Around 18 months, if your toddler is saying very few words or perhaps no words at all, isn't pointing to share things they see with you, like pointing out a doggy or a truck just to show you.
Right, not just to ask for something.
Exactly. Or if they seem to lose some of the communication skills they once had, that's called regression, those could be gentle signs that it's worth reaching out for a chat.
And then as they get closer to being 2 years old, around 24 months.
By 24 months, if they aren't starting to put two words together to express themselves, like saying more juice or daddy go.
Simple combinations.
Simple combinations, yeah. Yes. If they don't seem to follow simple one-step instructions, if their speech is difficult for even familiar family members to understand most of the time, mm-hmm. or if you notice a significant step backward in their language abilities, those are definitely things to discuss with a professional.
You mentioned something really important earlier, trusting your own instincts as a parent.
Absolutely. Your gut feeling is powerful. If any of these gentle guideposts resonate with you, or even if you just have that parental intuition telling you that your child might benefit from a closer look at their communication development, please know that it is always okay to reach out. Getting information early allows us to partner with you sooner and really help your child make the most of their incredible capacity for learning during these early years.
And that really leads into something so central to this whole process.
Yeah.
The incredibly important role of you, the parents. You emphasize that parents are truly the experts on their own child.
It's absolutely fundamental to how we work. You know your little one better than anyone else in the world. Our entire approach is built on this understanding. We practice what's called family-centered care.
Can you paint a picture of what that actually looks like when a family is working with an SLP? What does family-centered care mean in practice?
Certainly. First and foremost, we recognize that you, the parents, are the constant presence in your child's life. Therapists and other professionals may come and go, but your family is the constant.
It's true.
We deeply respect and value that central role. Secondly, we prioritize what matters most to you. Your concerns, your hopes, and your specific goals for your child's communication are what guide everything we do.
So it's not just the SLP deciding the goals?
Not at all. It's collaborative. What are your dreams for how your child will connect with the world? That's where we start.
That makes perfect sense. It needs to be tailored to each individual family's unique situation.
Exactly. And we focus on identifying and building upon your family's unique strengths. What are you already doing well in your interactions with your child? How can we support and enhance those natural moments of connection and communication?
Okay.
Collaboration is absolutely key. We see ourselves as your partners and your coaches working with you, not just focusing solely on your child in isolation.
I really like that image of being a coach. It just sounds much more collaborative and less like someone just fixing something.
That's the goal. It's about real life, real learning that fits into your existing routines. We firmly believe that children learn best in their natural environments at home during everyday activities like playtime, mealtimes, or even bath time.
Right, not in some sterile clinic room necessarily.
Precisely. Our goal isn't to give you a list of homework assignments to add to your busy day. Right. But rather to help you discover simple, practical ways to weave communication support into the things you're already doing.
That sounds much more manageable.
It makes learning so much more meaningful and enjoyable for your child and much more manageable for you as a family. And ultimately, we want to empower you. We aim to build your confidence and your knowledge so that you feel capable and equipped to support your child's communication development and become a strong advocate for their needs as they grow.
You also mentioned earlier the importance of respecting each family's individual culture. How does that play in?
Hugely important. Every family has a unique cultural background, a set of values, perhaps speaks more than one language, and has their own beliefs about raising children.
Sure.
We make a real effort to understand and deeply respect your family's culture and to tailor our support in a way that aligns with those values. If your family uses more than one language, for example, we fully support that.
Oh, good. Because some parents worry that might confuse the child.
That's a common misconception, but research actually shows that being multilingual is a huge asset. We can provide strategies that work across all the languages your child is learning.
That's great to hear. It truly sounds like the support is designed to embrace and involve the whole family.
It really is. We're here not just for your child, but also to offer resources, a listening ear when you have questions or concerns, and to navigate this journey together with you as a team.
You touched on the fact that children might come to see an SLP for a variety of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Could you elaborate on some of those common areas where young children might need a little extra support in their communication development?
Of course. One common area is language delays. This is where a child might have difficulty understanding what's being said to them. That's receptive language.
Yep.
Or difficulty expressing their own thoughts and ideas. That's expressive language.
And we're both.
Or sometimes a child might experience challenges in both of these areas. Yes. Our approach is always very individualized, meeting each child exactly where they are in their development. Then there are what we often call speech sound differences. It's completely normal for toddlers to make some errors when they're learning to say new sounds.
Like saying webbit for rabbit.
Exactly. But sometimes there are consistent patterns of these errors that can make their speech difficult for others to understand. We might call this a phonological pattern difference.
Yeah.
Or they might have trouble physically producing certain sounds, which we call an articulation difference. And then there's something called childhood apraxia of speech, which is a bit different. It's when the brain has difficulty planning and coordinating the movements needed for clear speech.
That sounds complex.
It can be, but early support can be so incredibly beneficial in all of these areas.
And you also mentioned social communication differences and the connection to autism.
Yes, some children find the social aspects of communication more challenging. They might struggle with the back and forth of conversations, using and understanding nonverbal cues like eye contact and gestures, or engaging in imaginative pretend play. Sometimes these can be early signs associated with autism spectrum disorder. SLPs play a vital role in helping to identify these differences early on and in providing support to help children develop their social communication skills and build connections.
Okay. What about when a child has difficulties with eating? You jokingly called it feeding and swallowing fun, but I can imagine it's a real source of stress for families.
You're absolutely right. It can be very stressful. For toddlers who struggle with different food textures, who are very hesitant to try new foods, or who cough or seem to choke frequently during meals.
Yeah, that's worrying.
It is. SLPs who have specialized training in this area can help make mealtimes safer and more enjoyable for both the child and the family.
And what about those little bumps in fluency that some toddlers experience when they're learning to talk? Stuttering.
Yes, it's very common for many toddlers to go through a phase of repeating sounds or words like ka-ka-can, I have, as their language skills are developing rapidly.
So that's normal sometimes.
Often it is temporary and part of typical development. But if these disfluencies seem very effortful, or if the child seems tense or upset by them, or if it's concerning to parents, early guidance from an SLP can be helpful to support fluency and prevent a more persistent pattern of stuttering from developing.
Okay.
And finally, just to mention, for children who have hearing loss, we work very closely with audiologists to support their communication development using the approaches that best fit their individual needs and the family's preferences, whether that's focusing on spoken language, sign language, or a combination of both.
So when a family first reaches out to an SLP, you may be feeling a bit unsure. What does that initial process typically look like? You described it as a gentle assessment approach.
Yeah, gentle is the key word. Our main goal when we first meet a child and their family is simply to get to know everyone.
Build rapport.
Exactly. We want to hear your story, understand your unique perspective, and learn all about your child's wonderful personality, their strengths, and how they currently communicate at home. The assessment process is really designed to be as relaxed and child-friendly as possible.
Good.
It often starts with just a conversation. We talk about your child's developmental history, your family's daily routines, what communication looks like in your home, and crucially, what your specific hopes and goals are for your child.
Mm-hmm.
And then a significant part of the assessment involves observing your child playing.
Playing?
Yes. By interacting with them in a natural, fun setting using toys they like, we can see firsthand how they communicate, how well they understand what's said to them, how they express themselves, and how they approach simple problem solving.
So it's not like a formal test they have to sit down and complete
yeah.
with right and wrong answers.
Not typically, no, especially with very young children. We might use some helpful tools like asking you to fill out questionnaires about the words your child uses or how they communicate in different situations. Parent input is vital. Okay. Sometimes, if it seems appropriate, we might use more standardized assessment tools, but we always make sure to explain what we're doing and why it might be helpful. We also often use something called dynamic assessment.
Dynamic assessment. What's that?
It means we're not just looking at what your child can do independently right now, but also how quickly and easily they can learn new skills when we offer a little bit of support or guidance.
So you see how they learn.
Exactly. This gives us a much clearer picture of their learning potential and the most effective ways we can help them grow. And it's really important to remember that assessment isn't just a one-time event, it's an ongoing process.
Right.
We're continuously observing and learning alongside your child, and we adjust our goals and our strategies as they continue to make progress.
That sounds very reassuring, a continuous and adaptable approach.
Yeah.
So once you have a better understanding of a child's individual needs,
yeah.
what does the therapy itself look like? You emphasize that it should be fun and playful.
Absolutely. Therapy for young children should always feel positive and engaging. We use evidence-based approaches, meaning methods that research shows are effective, mm-hmm. but we always tailor them to your child's specific needs, their interests, and their personality. A lot of therapy with toddlers involves learning through play.
Okay.
We use toys, engaging games, songs, movement activities that your child enjoys to naturally target those communication goals. Often, to someone just observing, it might simply look like fun and games.
That's probably the best way for them to learn.
We think so, too. We also put a big focus on integrating communication goals into your family's everyday routines. Things like getting dressed in the morning, eating snacks together, reading favorite books, playing outside.
So using real life moments.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We work with you to identify those natural opportunities throughout the day to encourage and support your child's communication. And we use gentle guidance strategies, like modeling the language we want the child to learn by saying words and phrases clearly, gently expanding on what they say to encourage longer sentences. If they say car, you might say, yes, blue car.
Gotcha.
Providing choices to empower them to communicate their preferences and creating fun and motivating reasons for them to want to communicate with you.
And you also mentioned using visual aids as part of therapy.
Yes. Many young children respond really well to seeing information visually. We might use picture schedules to help them understand the sequence of daily routines.
Like first snack, then play.
Exactly. Or communication boards with photos or symbols so they can point to what they want or need. Simple sign language to help bridge the gap between understanding and being able to say words. Mm. Or even age-appropriate apps on a tablet that are designed to support communication development. We also often draw from wonderful research-backed parent coaching programs like Hannon's It Takes Two to Talk or More Than Words.
Parent coaching.
Yes. These programs provide you, the parents, with practical tools and effective strategies that you can easily incorporate into your everyday interactions with your child. It's about empowering you.
Right.
And if needed, we introduce augmentative and alternative communication, AAC, tools in a very supportive and encouraging way. Again, it's so important to remember AAC helps communication and doesn't prevent speech from developing. It gives your child a voice.
Reduces that frustration we talked about.
Exactly. It truly gives your child a voice and reduces frustration.
It really sounds like a very comprehensive and supportive approach. Mm-hmm. And it's not just about what happens during a therapy session, but about empowering the whole family.
That's the core of it. And very often we collaborate with other professionals who might be involved in your child's care.
Like who?
Oh, occupational therapists, perhaps, who might help with sensory or fine motor skills. Physical therapists working on gross motor development, early childhood educators, doctors, or audiologists who specialize in hearing.
So a team approach.
We truly believe in a team-based approach, always sharing information with your permission, of course, and working together to provide coordinated, holistic care that addresses all aspects of your child's development and well-being.
And I really appreciate that you emphasize the importance of celebrating every step forward. Progress is going to look different for every single child, right?
It absolutely does. And that's okay. We believe in celebrating every single milestone, no matter how small it might seem to others. A new gesture, trying a new sound, pointing something out.
All wins.
All wins. We track progress in ways that really focus on those meaningful real-life improvements. Is your child communicating more effectively during playtime? Are mealtimes becoming less stressful? Are you as a parent feeling more confident in using new communication strategies at home?
That's key too, the parent confidence.
Absolutely. We'll share their progress with you regularly and work together to adjust our goals as your child continues to learn and grow. Seeing a child find their voice and witnessing families feel more connected and less stressed, honestly, those are truly the most rewarding aspects of our work.
It sounds like the ultimate goal is not just to address any current challenges, but also to build a really strong foundation for their future.
Precisely. The support your child receives during these early years lays such a crucial foundation for so much. Starting preschool with confidence, making friends, and navigating social situations, learning to read and write later on.
Yeah.
And just generally navigating the world around them with greater confidence and independence. Early intervention really is about unlocking their full potential and paving the way for lifelong success and well-being.
And you really want families to know that you understand the significance of making the decision to explore speech therapy, maybe feeling a bit vulnerable.
Absolutely. We deeply value and honor the trust that you place in us when you reach out. It's a big step.
It is.
Our ongoing commitment is to provide a warm, welcoming, and supportive space where your family feels truly heard, respected for your unique experiences, and fully empowered throughout this journey. We are all incredibly passionate about helping children find their voices and partnering closely with families to navigate this communication journey with both expertise and genuine compassion.
That's such a hopeful and empowering message. Thank you so much for sharing all of this valuable information with us today. It's been really insightful.
Oh, it was my sincere pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And for you, our listener, as you go about your day, maybe take a moment to reflect on the small, everyday moments of connection and communication you've shared with your toddler today. Think about how those seemingly simple interactions, those little back and forth exchanges, were all building blocks in their incredible journey of finding their voice and connecting with the world around them. It's all part of this amazing process.